One day, Adam noticed something. He noticed the seeds as they fell from the fruit that he was eating. And he noticed that when they fell to the ground, well, in a way, they died. But from them, it was all a part of the miracle of the garden. From them, new life would eventually spring. That seed, he noticed, would eventually become a plant, or a bush, or a tree, or more fruit to eat. And there in the garden, Adam noticed the miracle. From that point on, people planted on purpose. They prepared the ground, and they prayed for rain. And water became a hugely important part of the process. They needed to nourish the crops. Somehow that rainwater would be transformed into delicious fruit over time. And one of the crops that they had eventually would plant were grapes. Juicy grapes. And it was sort of a miracle. The water that accumulated through the vine was so much better reconstituted in the grape. It was once just water, but now it was grape juice. I don't know when it happened. No doubt it was an accident. Someone unintentionally allowed the juices of the grape to sit too long. It began to sour. It began to ferment. Whenever that happened, they threw it out. Until one day, someone figured it out. Under the right conditions, that juice turns to wine. It was a miracle of the garden. That somehow a seed would fall to the ground and die, and then creation's miracle dictated that new life would begin. Water would be drawn in and transformed into fruit, and the juice of that fruit would one day be wine. It was a miracle in the garden. And ever since, anybody who's ever driven a tractor across a field or picked fruit or prepared crops traces their history back to what happened there in the garden. The whole process of this seed falling to the ground, absorbing the water, transforming into fruit, the miracle of the garden. There's a second miracle. We actually know it as Jesus' first miracle. I call it the miracle at the wedding. The miracle at the wedding. And some of you might know where I'm going with this. Jesus had been invited to a wedding. Actually, his mom was invited, it looks more like, and he was there sort of to escort her. And at that wedding, he was approached by his mother, who informs him that the hosts were out of wine. Really? This seems like such a trivial problem to Jesus. A catering catastrophe. A hospitality faux pas. Jesus certainly will reserve his miracles for bigger problems than this. Right? You'd think so. But amazingly, Jesus tells the servants to fill these huge hand-washing jugs with water and then take them to the master of the banquet. We read of how he responded when he tasted that water in John 2, 9 and 10. It says this, the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best till now. In other words, wow, this is really good. That's what he's saying. Wow, this is really good. I've tasted nothing like better than this in my life. It is a fantastic story. And it seems like such an odd miracle. Of all the things that would consume Jesus, of all the things would demand his attention, of all the ways that he would announce the Messiah was here on the planet through signs and wonders, it's almost amusing to help up some random wedding host with too many guests and not enough beverages. Maybe it surprises some people here that Jesus was in the winemaking business at all. But it probably doesn't surprise anyone that if he was going to make wine, it would be the best there ever was. But then when I look at the story a second time, there's so much there. C.S. Lewis has helped me put this miracle in perspective. He writes this. He said that God creates the vine and teaches it to drop water by its roots, and with the aid of the sun to turn that water into juice, which will ferment and take on certain qualities. Thus, every year, he writes, God turns water into wine. It was a miracle at the wedding. Jesus took what God had done in the garden and put on fast forward. There's sort of a reverse a legend of this miracle in reverse. It's about an ancient village in Spain. The villagers learned that the king of that the entire nation would somehow come into their small village. This hadn't happened in hundreds of years, and they thought, we must throw this huge celebration. And the villagers all agreed, but they were very poor, and so they weren't sure how they would pull this off without many resources. Someone came up with a classic idea. Since the villagers all made their own wine, the idea was for everyone in the village to bring a large cup of their own choice wine, the best they could make, to the town square. We'll all pour it into a large vat, they decided, and offered it to the king for his pleasure. When the king drinks the wine that we have made, it will be the best he's ever tasted. The day before the king's arrival, hundreds of people lined up to bring their offerings to the honored guest. They climbed up this small stairway and poured their gifts into a small opening at the top. Finally, the vat was filled. The king arrived, was escorted into the town square, given this silver cup to drink from, and told to draw some wine, which represented the very best the village had to offer. He placed the cup under the spigot, poured a little bit out, lifted it to his lips, and drank the wine, but it was nothing more than water. Turns out each villager had thought, I'll hold back my best wine and substitute water. With so many cups of wine in the vat, the king will never know the difference. The king was greatly dishonored. The tragedy is that while God is in the business of changing our lives from water into wine, we often thwart his work with our sin, turning it back into water. God is making something big and beautiful and amazing with our lives, and we can thwart the process. We dilute it with our sin, and we frustrate it with our disobedience. Don't miss the miracle of the wedding. Water into wine. Saving the best for last. This is Jesus' way. God longs to take our ordinary lives and make them exceptional for him. Artist Hyatt Moore has written this prayer. He's written this. He says, Lord, you have done your winemaking miracle over and over, and done it again in me, taking this plain water of my life and turning it into wine. Don't miss the miracle of the wedding. God does the same thing in us, just not instantly. But now I want to draw your attention to that third miracle, the one that captures our attention this evening. It happened the night that we now commemorate. At the Last Supper, with all the disciples gathered around, we read these words in Luke 22. Taking the cup, he, that is Jesus, gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Jesus lifted the cup. Did you ever think about the liquid that was in that cup? The liquid had once been water. Water that had fallen as rain and then been filtered through a grapevine. It was then cultivated by a farmer, picked at harvest, and crushed for its juice. The juice was then stored and preserved, and eventually it became wine. And it made it to this Passover celebration where Jesus and his disciples gathered around that table, and Jesus lifted that cup of wine. And in that moment, he did another miracle. He transformed it. In lifting his cup, he turned the wine into a symbol of his blood. He gave it new meaning. First water to wine, then wine to blood. From ordinary to celebratory to extraordinary. From physical to social to spiritual. It's the miracle at the table. Tonight we gather around that table, like Jesus did so long ago with the disciples that he also loved. Tonight we gather around that table, and Jesus is here as our host. Like he did so long ago, he invites us to participate in that which represents his very body and blood. And as we gather around this table, we are reminded that Jesus still does three miracles. He did the miracle in the garden at creation. He created us with the capacity to live beyond simple sustenance. We need food and water to survive, but way back in the garden, God gave us so much more. He gave us the ability to make bread and wine. He gave us the ability to take the natural stuff of life and make it significant, to build community and to build life and build richness and wonder and creativity. And Jesus is still doing the miracle at the wedding. He still takes ordinary lives, like yours and mine, and he makes them exceptional. He takes ordinary people and transforms them in invigorating ways with his touch. The process begins, saving the best for last. He still does the same thing. It just takes longer. But now, as we focus at this table, we come face to face with the reality of the miracle of the table. We're reminded that the one who died on that cross on Good Friday came in a very ordinary way. He came as a baby to a manger in a humble beginning, a simple birth, a humble life, brought up as an ordinary carpenter. In a way, he stepped into the water with us. He got his feet wet. He identified with our humanity. He met us in our vulnerability, in our plainness, in our need. But something happened. Something happened with his life. Water became wine. Jesus turned out to be this exceptional teacher and this fantastic preacher. He became this famous, remarkable healer and a revolutionary leader. Water became wine. That which was looked from the outset as just something very ordinary became very extraordinary. But he didn't stop there. Wine turned into blood. Did you ever think about this? The wine he drank on Thursday literally became the blood he shed on Friday. On Friday, Good Friday was the third miracle. Wine turned into blood. And because of that, we have redemption. Because of that, we have salvation. Because of that, we have hope that someone can meet us in the plain, ordinary water of our lives and make something extraordinary and exceptional and redemptive and transforming. Our ordinary lives become eternal and exceptional. We experience salvation not only then, but also now. The life that he offers, the rich, full life that he offers. Jesus takes the ordinary and makes it exceptional, and then he makes it eternal. I'm riveted by that third miracle. And tonight, I'll invite the band back up, and we can lower the lights again, and I'll invite those who are helping serve communion as well to make their way forward. Tonight, I want to invite you to participate in this miracle. I want to invite you as we sing these songs to prepare our hearts to be among those who are a part of that table, among those disciples that he gathered significantly that night, and he offered his body and his blood in the symbol of wine and bread. We're going to pass the bread, and I encourage you to, as you take the bread, to simply hold it until you're ready, and then to individually, just between you and Jesus, when you're ready, take that bread. Later, we will take the cup together. There's this individual as well as a corporate aspect to communion, and we celebrate both together in these two elements. By the way, if you'd like a gluten-free alternative to the bread, we actually have some in the back, and you're free to get up at any time and pick one of those up as well. But I want to invite each of us, as we hold this bread in our hands and as we sing these songs, to be reminded of his body broken for us, to picture ourselves around that table. We don't get it fully, but we get enough of it now, and we start to see what he's invited us into. We start to understand this life that he wants for us. It was founded in creation, and it culminated in redemption. And that's the weekend that we are on the eve of tonight. If you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your life, tonight would be the perfect time. In fact, you can use the bread and the cup as a physical way to express your desire for Jesus' death to apply to your life. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the miracle of communion, for transforming that which was just the substance of dinner, the kind of stuff that people would just have at the dinner table, bread and wine. You transformed it into something so much more significant, so much more eternal. And then, Lord, you physically accomplished it on the cross on the day that we celebrate tomorrow and commemorate. I want to ask your blessing on each one now as we prepare our hearts for communion. I ask you, Lord, to help us see ourselves as we truly are before you, our great need for you. Realize that this is much more than just a piece of bread. It's a symbol of your love expressed in the most sacrificial way. Prepare our hearts now as we prepare to take this together in Christ's name. Amen.